support fire prevention and police patrol services. Is there anyone here today who wishes to be heard on this subject? Anyone who wishes to testify? All right, I close the hearing on state revenue sharing. All right, do we vote on that? No. It's just the hearing. All right, can you please read the title for item number, it's resolution item number 910.
Certify that certain services are provided by the city to establish eligibility for state shared revenues.
So state law requires this action. ORS 221.760 requires municipalities and counties over 100,000 people in population to certify certain services are provided to be eligible to receive state revenue sharing. And the services certified by the City of Portland are police protection, fire protection, street construction, maintenance, and lighting, sanitary sewers, storm sewers, planning, zoning, and subdivision control and water.
Yes.
Is there more to be done here?
Yes, that's correct.
That covers it, Mayor.
Okay. So then do we vote on this now?
Yes.
All right. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on item number 910? All right. Can you please call the vote on resolution item number 910?
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 910 resolution is approved. Can you please read the ordinance, emergency ordinance, item number 911?
Approve accepting funds from the state of Oregon under the state revenue sharing program for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2010 and ending June 30, 2011.
This ordinance, again, as the title mentions, approves accepting funds under the state shared revenue program. So we just had the resolution. This is the ordinance accepting those. I think we will need a fourth member voting on this since it is an emergency.
Okay. Is there anyone that wishes, while we're waiting for a fourth vote, is there anyone that wishes to testify on emergency ordinance item number 911? All right, we will, unless there are objections, we will hold the vote on this until we have a fourth person to vote. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 912?
Approve closing the business license surcharge fund and approve renaming the housing and community development fund to the community development block grant fund and approve creating the Headwaters Apartment Complex Fund.
Again, there's not a whole lot more here in terms of what's in the title, but we do have to, council does have to take action to both open new funds and close funds and rename funds, and this ordinance does all three.
Does anyone wishes to testify on emergency ordinance 9112? All right, we will hold an abeyance of vote on this until we have the proper quorum and move to the reading of emergency ordinance 913.
Adopt the annual budget of the city and establish appropriations for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2010, and ending June 30, 2011.
Is there anyone that wishes to testify in this matter? Is there anything you would like to say?
So what you have in your packets, and I will not go through the details here, but again, council did approve the budget a few weeks ago. We have gone through the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission hearing. Just yesterday, they did sign off and approve the city's budget. And so this is the formal adoption for fiscal year 2010-11. And in your memo, we list out in attachment B all of the adjustments between the approved budget and the adopted budget. I'm happy to answer any questions on those. And I think at this point, once we get four, we will need a motion then to adopt this budget as amended in this package.
I'm just curious, it's an emergency just because of the timing, because you have to have it?
Yeah, if we could do the budget adoption as a non-emergency, but it would require a second reading. So since the other ordinances that are part of the budget process are emergencies, we just made this one emergency as well.
Right. I've already asked if anyone wants to testify. No one indicated as such. We will hold the vote in abeyance. And can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 914?
Approve levying taxes for the city for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2010 and ending June 30, 2011.
So again, this ordinance is the ordinance that officially levies the taxes again at the city's permanent tax rate for next year.
Anyone wish to testify on item number 914? All right, we will hold that in abeyance. And would somebody?
Mayor, should we, since we have three, should we move to S 916 and 917 just to knock those out?
Yes, absolutely. Can you please read the title for S 916?
Amend the Northwest District Plan and official zoning and comprehensive plan maps in portion of Northwest Portland.
Please call the vote.
Fish.
This is the second time we've, in recent memory, we've taken up an aspect of the Northwest District Plan where, because of the way it has been handled by planning and sustainability and by the mayor and his team, instead of having a fractured hearing, we had a group of people coming out in lockstep with consensus around how to proceed. So that's the result of a lot of work, and this particular issue has a history of substantial conflict. The fact that we're now at a point of a consensus about how to proceed is remarkable. Congratulations to Mayor Adams and his team for that, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz? Amanda?
Can you hear us?
I can hear you, but you can't hear me.
Now we can hear you.
Hey, good. Daughter's giving me instructions on how to use a cell phone. I want to echo Commissioner Fisher's comments and commend Mayor Adams and also the Neighborhood Association and vote aye.
Adams.
Thank you for your kind words, but I would turn to the staff of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, wherever they might be, and thank them and Amy Ruiz on my staff. Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote? Second reading, item number 917.
Amend the Northwest Master Plan Regulations.
Please call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Very good. All right. Can you please call the vote on item number 911?
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 911 is approved. Can you please call the vote on item number 912?
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 912 is approved. Can you please call the vote on item number 913?
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 913 is approved. Can you please call the vote on item number 914?
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 914 is approved.
Andrew, are you here to object about something?
Mayor, I just want to, on 913, the budget adoption ordinance and the city attorney.
We have a substitution?
I think we'll need a motion just to adopt the budget as amended in attachments B, C, and D.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We're reconsidering, unless there are objections, item number 913 with the motion so attached. Can please call the vote on the on the new motion to approve 913.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 913 is approved. Thank you to the budget office. Appreciate it. Okay, that gets us to time certain, and I believe we have a 2-minute recess until we get to 9:15. Talk amongst yourselves. Smoke. Oh, never mind.
I'm leaving at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy Ashland.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good. He's doing a great job.
He's a really wonderful guy.
Yeah. He came to see me to prepare for that mic.
He seemed unusually.
We're not going to hear that.
I just did all those.
Well, you did well.
Mm-hmm. You can share some. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the budget hearing. That was we.
The grilling.
We're not going to
We're not voting today.
We're not voting today?
Because we don't have a majority to do a time. We'll do a we'll do an emergency version of this next week, but we'll have the hearing today. She's willing to call in, and he'll be back. And you're here.
She's willing to call
in. Amanda? Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, but...
So we did... We cut the ribbon yesterday, 108 units at the Mark of Washington.
How was it?
That was fabulous. It actually, you know what used to be in there?
They had a bomb go off in there, and just within seconds would have killed one of our fire investigators. In the room, walked out, the bomb went off.
Part of its history, so it's a fabulous, it's incredible what they've done. We then today cut the ribbon on Walnut Park, which is across from the police substation and the urban league, the senior center.
That's satisfying.
Where's the Admiral?
The Admiral is that very, very attractive building that's across from the Fox Tower on the south corner.
City Council will come back from recess. It is still Thursday. It is still June 17th, 2010. We have a 2:15 time certain. It is now 2:15. Carla, if you'd be so kind as to read emergency ordinance number 915, the title.
Authorize an agreement for development with Siltronic Corporation regarding contingent commitments for development and restoration on the Siltronic property.
So this is an emergency. We're going to take the staff presentation today and testimony, but we'll be voting on it. We'll carry forward the vote until next week, and we will consider it next week as an emergency ordinance, but we will not be voting today. Hi.
Good afternoon. Brian Campbell, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm going to give you pretty much the short version of this. The council heard and voted on the memorandum of understanding upon which this development agreement is based back in April, and finally voted on the final version of that MOU in May. So I'm going to move right to the substance. This development agreement follows the guidance language in that MOU that you adopted in May, in many areas word for word. So it's in a different format, but the essential points are the same, and the main thing is the trade-off between the parties provides the certainty for both Siltronic and the city. As the slide says, it's for a development site that is without its river plan proposed environmental overlay zoning in exchange for a conservation easement that Siltronic will donate to the city as compensation for any future habitat loss on that development site. There was one piece of information that is a little bit different in the MOU than in the MOU, and the width of the easement area that is in blue on this drawing has changed in a couple of different places just slightly. The overall square footage of it, the acreage of it, stays the same, but there are a couple of different changes. Let's see if I can get it this area right down at the bottom of the, or at the in the middle of the easement, next to the utility quarter, is wider by a fairly significant amount, enough so that we can actually do some more restoration work in that part of the corridor. It got correspondingly a little bit smaller up here by the river by about 40 feet. Now, there's still 160 feet of dimension here, which the is what we need for restoration work on the riverfront for salmon resting habitat and other kinds of things that might happen out there on the river. And this 40-foot area, which would stay within Siltronic's control, as you can see, the old line came right up to their building, and it gives them and us just a little bit more of a, gives us all both a buffer in that particular area. So regardless of who actually ends up controlling it, the city or Siltronic, the use of that area is going to be the same as a vegetated buffer. So what are the benefits here? The primary benefit, as I mentioned before, is certainty. Specifically for the city, that means gaining control over a critical restoration site along the Willamette that includes one of the few creek corridors that can be preserved and enhanced for habitat, and that's a huge win for the city. It's essential to achieving the city's restoration objectives, not only on this site, but in the whole North Reach. And the alternative is really complete uncertainty about whether or even if this site could ever be restored. It would depend upon the environmental review process on a future development proposed for this site, which may or may not translate into as good an outcome as this agreement provides. And that may also be a long time in the future. So we recognize that there are some concerns about the agreement, one of which is width, which I just talked about. And I think I'll come back to that in a minute because I can talk about the others just quickly. And I want to show you two more diagrams here, which we'll talk about the easement itself, the easement width. There's been expressed a concern about the Greenway Trail. That has now is not a part of the development agreement at Bob Salinger's suggestion. The setback also, a suggestion from Mr. Salinger, the suggestion that he made that Siltronic be required to provide native vegetation in the 50-foot setback area that is required as part of the zoning along here. It specifically requires them to provide that vegetation when the river plans 1% of project value or 15% vegetation requirement provision is triggered by a future development project. So we think we have a pretty good way to make that happen, at least as soon as development does. Another issue has been the eco roof. We were working under council direction on that one, and that seemed like a really tried to meld the concerns of Siltronic and PDC and City Council as best we could on that one. Concern about the process under which we were working. Again, we were working under council direction over the last year and a half on this. We think has been a great opportunity to actually achieve a win-win for the environment and the economy in this particular instance. And the process was what it was. In terms of precedent, the staff also believes this is a good precedent in a positive way here, then that it actually accomplishes something very tangible. The easement is very valuable for all the reasons mentioned before, and it can also be improved upon over time, potentially adding width and perhaps daylighting some of feature over time too for the creek corridor. So let me just talk about the width again and why we think that is adequate for the job at this point. And I just want to point out that I don't know if you can see it very well on the screen here, but we have indicated on the railroad side of the conservation easement what the full dimension of the habitat corridor really is, because it takes into account railroad property. That is part of the habitat now. In the left side of the screen there, you'll see that crosshatch covering What exists on the ground, the entire Doan Creek Corridor area, is almost all of it in railroad property. And then as you swing around the bottom of the property and out to the river, you'll see that the true width of that habitat corridor is really quite a bit larger. So that just gives you another picture of what that's all about. And finally, hopefully this is not too obscure as well, we had a restoration concept prepared for this. Now, this is just highly conceptual. So the main thing to maybe take a look at is the cross-sectional diagram, section AA in the bottom left corner. What it's showing is that there's a way to do a daylighted stream along much of this Doan Creek corridor. And we can talk about each one of these things that I've mentioned here just recently in any question and answer period, but I thought I'd give you a quick view of what we thought was a very achievable solution. Again, not ideal. It's not the perfect, but it is very good and very valuable for the city to acquire this piece. That's it.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion from council at this point? All right, you can step down. Who do we have signed up to testify?
We have two people signed up.
Okay.
Bob Solinger and Doris Weller.
Welcome back to the City Council. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks. Good to be back. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. I've sent you a letter with four conservation groups signed on: Audubon, Willamette Riverkeeper, Coalition for Livable Future, and Forest Park Conservancy. You also got a letter from Urban Green Spaces Institute. I think the environmental community is pretty much united in its opposition to this agreement. We're disappointed in it, and we think it's gotten worse from the original agreement that was in the MOU. You know, today we're installing a couple of statues down at the waterfront, statues of birds that have gone extinct, five of them, about 6 foot tall. It's called the Lost Bird Project. And those birds went extinct because people didn't understand what they were doing and they didn't really care. And we're facing our own crisis of extinction today. We have three species of listed salmonids going through our city, 25% of our birds are declining, and our river is trashed. And under the current approach that we're taking on this river, it's only going to get worse, and this is part and parcel of that. I came before you a couple of months ago and supported the river plan, strongly supported it. I don't support it anymore. And the reason for that is that we now understand how far the exemptions and reductions and standards went in that plan, and we know that although we traded flexibility for protecting the best places on the river, those places are not protected under this plan because of the changes that were made and are continuing to be made that get those protections. We know that almost 70% of the things that would have gone through review under the old Greenway Code no longer go through review. That's an amazing number. We're basically just tossing our river open. And I hope you give me a little bit of extra time because I am representing a bunch of groups here today. So let me get to my point today. This agreement is part of that steady erosion that we're seeing that actually reduces protections that existed prior to the adoption of the river plan. We have a number of problems with it. First of all, relative to everything else in the river plan, this was done in behind closed doors. We see the city bending over backwards to accommodate industry concerns with multiple meetings, scientific review panels, maximum transparency. We spent an inordinate amount of time. Audubon's devoted a huge number of resources to coming back to the table over and over and over again so that we can work through the same industry concerns that have been raised for years and years. Yet, when we have an environmental concern on this side, this was done primarily behind closed doors. No stakeholders were there, no scientific review. And that's a huge problem to us outside of the city. As far as the plan itself goes, our problems are numerous with it. The easement is simply not sufficient. It's 100 feet wide in many places. And I would refer you to Appendix G that actually states the new easement does not meet the minimum width for a functional wildlife corridor. The new easement does not provide enough space to meet minimum slope requirements to prevent bank failure. The new easement allows uses that create disturbance to natural resources and diminish function. That is the city's own analysis of this easement. It's not going to function for the purposes that we need it to function for, and it's one of the only corridors we have left. It is the best corridor we have left between Forest Park and the river in the industrialized landscape, and it's not going to function for the purposes that we need it to function for. Secondly, the area near the river, which was the most valuable part of this agreement, that 200 feet is shrunk by 40 feet. And we haven't really seen any analysis of how that shrinkage affects the viability of laying back the bank. Third, the vegetation on the riverbank, people keep pointing to that 1%. That was another aspect of the river plan that was gutted. Under the old Greenway Code, they had nonconforming uses requirements that would have required them to pay up to 10% of construction costs. Now it's down to 1%. So a project that costs $200,000 will get us $2,000 toward restoration. That's nominal. It's almost meaningless. The cost of processing
them. I need you to stick to the MOU.
Okay. Well, but I am. I mean, that's the point of
the... Not the river plan, the MOU.
All right.
And I'll give you 30 more seconds.
Okay. And the last piece is the eco-roof. The eco-roof is simply an aspiration. It's an aspiration that the city will have to pay for. We've seen aspirations before. We've seen them at South Waterfront. They didn't come true. They were a mirage. We don't believe that this one will happen either. Certainly, industry would never agree to this kind of a term on their side of the equation. We hope you'll vegetate the bank. We hope you'll put in an eco-roof. Who's going to be here in 10, 15, or 20 years to actually see that that happens, and who's going to pay for it? That shouldn't even be in this agreement. It's functionally meaningless. So we look at this property. We see 37 acres. Certainly, we can find 300 feet next to a railroad track that will allow us to get a real wildlife corridor. The last thing I do want to say is that 100 feet is about twice the width of this room. We're going to have a road in that. We did say that we could not fit a trail in there and do restoration. The idea that we can daylight a creek, lay back the banks, put in a trail is infeasible, but we do think there should be a trail there. Right. So I don't want to sell out my friends at the NPD Greenway. I want to make sure it's wide enough that we can do all the things that we need to do to serve all the functions of the river. So thank you.
Thanks. Hi.
Hi. My name is Darby Sweller, and I didn't think I was going to be here to testify, so please bear with me because I'm a little convoluted in my testimony. I have concerns that the area and the consequences of the proposed Dones Creek daylighting and wildlife corps proposal have not been researched enough to make a decision at this time. Considering the expense and the effort, I also feel that there are better choices for daylighting other creeks in the area. A wildlife corridor across St. Helens Road, the extent of the pollution, a Dones Lake site are two of my concerns. To encourage wildlife to cross St. Helens Road is a risky, is very risky indeed for both wildlife and the vehicle traffic. Having used St. Helens Roads on a daily basis for many years, I've experienced many close encounters in the Dones Lake area with near collisions with deer. One particular horrid visual memory I will always have for the rest of my life was with a deer that had a nearly severed leg collapsing in front of my vehicle. The semi-truck next traveling next to me had hit the deer, so I didn't. An underground corridor would be a possible solution, but considering the expense, is it possible? A corridor over St. Helens Road for safe passage for humans was not considered in Linton because of the expense. My second concern is the extent of the pollution on that site. Rome Polonc manufactured Agent Orange at that site. At our CAG meeting, Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group meeting, in January, DEQ informed us that they wanted to solidify a small body of water that was directly adjacent to this site on the other side of the railroad tracks because they didn't want any life at all to interact with that water because it was so contaminated. another concern is that the railroad tracks that run through the corridor continually spray herbicides to control the weeds on that, and they're within their rights to do that no matter what kind of area it is to spray those contaminants. Also, with daylighting the creek, the groundwater and the ground because of airborne particulates are probably quite polluted, and so I think that it really needs to seriously be studied whether we'd actually be opening a corridor to the river for those pollutants to be flowing to the river. So I don't think the consequences have really been totally considered on this particular site, and I would urge you to look at further educating, you know, everybody as to whether this is really a good idea, and maybe picking some other sites, you know, instead for this, which may be involve less expense.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony, both of you. Brian? Mm-hmm. So when I sort of working from that point backwards, when I've been out at the site a number of times over the years, but most recently to spend a part of a weekday afternoon walking all around the, and as part of that briefing and consistent with other briefings, the notion of daylighting the creek seemed of a low probability because of some of the issues that we just heard from the last individual that testified, and that the cost for daylighting the creek and the required sort of cleanup, if I recall correctly, was in the $60 million range.
Something of that nature.
So I've been working on the assumption that while that's possible, that this was more of a habitat corridor, and in terms of habitat, we were prioritizing deer and critters and whatever else we could. But that daylighting the creek and at least beyond the entrance would be very expensive. Is that?
That is essentially true, yes. And I mean, the corridor is, again, not completely optimal probably for the large mammal species like deer, but it would be a complete corridor. Paul Ketchum may be able to enlighten you on other aspects of the corridor and its ability to function as good habitat for a large array of species, but it's definitely adequate for most species that use the property now.
The other, just looking at the media write-up of this, talks about, so I just want to reinsert into the record, the reason that this MOU is coming forward is because the city hasn't just been in conversations about this site and trying to make sense of it economically and environmentally. We haven't been in those discussions for months, as is described in the press, but we've been in those discussions for years. And so that's the reason why this is moving forward on a parallel track along with the North Reach Plan.
Correct. And I think I should add to your observation about the recent press on this, today's Oregonian did not even mention the conservation easement as the primary trade-off, if you will, with Siltronic. So I think that was a major omission from that news article. Mm-hmm. As my opening slide or two indicated, that's incredibly important for the city to have possession of that kind of an asset.
Is there anything else you want to say in response to either one of those that have testified?
No, I think my preliminary remarks pretty much covered the gamut of what at least Mr. Salinger had to say. I think this is not the end of the road for this development agreement and the eventual acquisition of the conservation easement by the city. I think I distributed to all the council staff this week a short outline of the contingencies that need to happen going forward before the transfer of the property would take place. So I just wanted to point that out again that there is there are some other things that need to happen. And I guess we're going to have to come back next week for the actual vote as well. So,
what's the knowing that the blue hatched portion of that mm-hmm. second map is aspirational in terms of access to it?
Right.
If you add that, though, which would be my intent mm-hmm. to have the railroads grant us access for the purpose of habitat corridor, if you add the blue hatched and then what's contained in this agreement, what's some of the widths of those two things together?
Well, it's a little hard to tell exactly, but it goes from around 200 feet to perhaps 260 feet wide. And again, it just depends on where you are. Actually, it's larger even at the southwest corner there than that. So I think there's we all recognize it's not ideal, but it can be added to as well. So I think that's the thing. As you mentioned, discussions with the railroad will have to take place in order to do work at the mouth of the creek in the river, And we need to make sure that they have good intentions for the rest of their property that includes the surface part of Doan Creek at this point, too. So all those things, you're correct. They need to happen going forward. So,
any of the discussion desired from council? No. All right. Then this moves to a second reading next week. We are adjourned for the week. Sorry. Should I